It's wonderful to come together as the Lord's people, isn't it? Always a joy to come together as we sing these hymns concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We live in a perilous world, don't we? Brother Bob was sharing with us this morning a little bit about how the world at large has turned away from the things of God. I remember when I was a boy, and that's not so many years ago. You know, time comes and passes ever so quickly. But I remember when I was a boy that things in America were different than they are today. And our hearts are sad because of that. But you know, everything has not changed. The Lord Jesus Christ himself has not changed. His Father in heaven has not changed. The purpose for which he sent his Son here, that plan that was drawn before the world was ever formed. Can you comprehend that? Can you take that in? It's hard for me to understand. When I start talking about eternity, my mind just goes. I remember as a boy, my father used to preach, as many of the other preachers preached, about eternity and that God has no beginning and no ending. And well, there was a place in our yard on the farm where we lived. It was underneath my mother's clothesline. I went there because it was the only place in the yard where there was any grass. And I would lay there under the clothesline and I would look up at the sky and see the beautiful clouds and the different shapes that they made, and my mind would try to comprehend eternity. And I couldn't. My mind could not take it in. And now here I am, in my early 70s, and my mind still cannot take it in. I am not able to comprehend it, but I only know that it is true. We have the eternal Word of God to teach us that. In this world that we live, we need each other, don't we? You know, one of the greatest needs among the Lord's people today is to be encouraged. There's so many reasons for us to be discouraged. As we look about us in our own neighborhoods, our own communities, and even into our own families often, we see reasons to be discouraged. And so a little word here, a little word there, as we are able to encourage each other, what a ministry that is for the Lord. You know, I've often thought probably the things that we do in this life that accomplish the most where the Lord is concerned are those things that we really didn't think very much about. I think sometimes that when we think about, oh, the great things that we can do for God, but I believe in my heart that it is the little things that we do as God's people that is going to bring the greatest rewards in heaven. I believe that. All of you know that some of the happiest years of my life have been going in and out of Romania and ministering to the Lord's people there. You know, it's interesting. I go there to encourage them, but instead they encourage me. I'll never forget the day that when Brother Will Pell lay in his last days here upon this earth. And his sisters had taken him outside of his home there at 817 North Street and taken him out into the backyard, and he was lying there in a bed. He had only a few days left to live. And I went as a young man. and I went to encourage him. But brothers and sisters in Christ, he encouraged me with all of his experience and all of his knowledge of the Word of God. He encouraged me. You know, one of the things that he used to say, and I'm sure he said it to many of you as he spoke to you, especially to the young ones, in that shaky voice of his, as he would look at you and he would say, "Sonny." Ah, yes. That was Brother Will Pell. He encouraged so many in this life. There is a woman in Romania. I don't know her name. I can't recall that I ever seen her before this incident that I will tell you about. And I can't recall that I ever saw her after that. But this was many years ago. My early years of going into Romania. I've been now going in and out of Romania over the last 22 years. And in the early years, I was standing at the back of the church, as was customary. They, at the last night that I would be there at the church in Riznov, and they would ask me to go to the back door so that all of the Christians, when they went out, they could greet me. And I was standing there, and many were coming to encourage me, to give me a word of greeting from the Word of God to take back to the Christians in America. But there was a woman who came to me. I never saw her before. She was dressed in a long black dress, which was customary for the old women of Romania, the old Christian ladies in those days, with a black shawl around her shoulders. And they would use that shawl to cover their heads when they would be in the church service. They would use that shawl to pull around their heads when they were in inclement weather, when the wind was blowing hard, it was cold, or maybe even when there was a little rain. And she came through the line, and as she came to me, she handed to me a little blue cloth bag. It wasn't very big, it was only about this wide and maybe that thick, and just big enough. Homemade it was. She had made it special, apparently. And it was filled with apples. It is customary in Romania, the people there are so poor that they do travel a bit in Romania. They go by bus or they go by train. Some are fortunate enough to have cars, but most are not. And when they go on a long journey like that, it may take a couple of days to travel by train across Romania. Maybe they are going to visit some relatives, or maybe they are going home for a funeral. Whichever the case, they take with them apples. It is the most practical food that they can carry with them on those trains and on those buses, because they don't crush. They can put them in their suitcase. They can throw them up on the baggage rack with all of the other things. And when they are hungry, it is there and just as good as the moment they threw it up there. Whereas a sandwich might be crushed, might be smashed, but the apples, they are good. They are nourishing. They also provide moisture if they are thirsty, because there is no food or water available on those trains in Romania. She came to me, and in her simple faith in God, she probably had never been outside of Romania. For all I know, she had never been very far out of the city where she lived, for many of them live and die in a very small area. They never get out. She came to me in her simple childlike faith, and she handed to me this bag of apples with these words, "This is for your journey back to America." Brothers and sisters in Christ, I have never been so encouraged in all my life as I was by that woman in that simple act as she handed to me in faith and in a true spirit. She wanted to bless me. She wanted to give me something. And that's all she had. Most of the Romanians will have at least one apple tree growing in their backyard, and they are, well, what we call here in this world, we call them organic. They are not sprayed with chemistry of any kind, no pesticides or anything like that. And they have blemishes on them and maybe even a worm or two when you are eating that apple. We as children on the farm, we used to kid each other and we would say, which is better to find in an apple, a half a worm or a whole worm? And of course the answer was a whole one was desirable, for that means that you had not eaten half of it yet. That's all she had to give. But she came in simple, childlike faith and gave me that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I have been encouraged so many times as I think about that woman. I have an honest question in my mind about that woman. I never saw her before, and I've never seen her after. And think about this with me for a moment. The Christians in the home where I stay in Romania, I was talking to them about this woman after the service. I told them about her, and they looked at each other and they said, there is no woman like that in our church. But she was there. I saw her. They could not identify her. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I am just simple enough to take the word of God face value. And where it says to us, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For sometimes men have entertained angels unawares. Think about that with me for a moment. Is it possible that that woman was an angel sent by God to encourage me? We need encouragement, don't we? I was invited to a home of a brother in the city of Brasov. There's a very large assembly there, and when I am in Romania, they always ask me to come to minister there. 300 or 400 easily. And there was a brother there, a simple brother. He was poor. He didn't have much. But he came after the service, and Mr. and Mrs. Angelucci were there with me. They're the family that I stay with in Romania, and they were with me, along with a couple of the other children. And that brother came to me, and he said to Mrs. Angelucci, can you come to my home for dinner today? I would be so pleased if you could come and have David come and have dinner with me and my family today in my home. And Mrs. Angelucci said, well, that would be wonderful, but we have planned a dinner at home. It is the last Sunday that David will be here in Romania, and we have planned as a family to enjoy a chicken dinner together, and so I will have to decline. The man would take no for an answer. He pleaded, please, please come to my home. And again, Mrs. Angelucci declined. And he asked again, please reconsider. And so after a bit, Mr. and Mrs. Angelucci talked, and they came back and they said, okay, we will come to your home for dinner. But they didn't have a telephone at home, and two of the children had stayed home to make the dinner. And there was no way to call them to tell them that we were not going to come home for dinner. But that is Romania, and Mr. and Mrs. Angelucci said, oh, no problem. They will soon figure out that we're not coming, and they will go ahead and eat. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I went to that brother's home, and I will never forget that meal. As long as I live, I will not forget that meal. It was a very small home in which there is 8 people living. Very, very tiny, 2 tiny rooms. They had 1 small chicken for their whole family and for us. That's all they had, with some mashed potatoes. Well, they served it up plate style. They didn't put it all on the table for us to take whichever we would. They served it up plate style. And each one of us got a small mound of mashed potatoes. And right on the top of those potatoes was a very small piece of chicken. That was all there was for the meal. For dessert, he went outside, and there hanging from the eaves of his house were purple Concord grapes. They were ripe, they were in season, and he picked a panful of them and he brought them in, and we all enjoyed the grapes together. But we sat there around the table afterwards for 3 hours. And what did we talk about? When was the Lord coming back? What do you think in America? What do the Christians there feel? Do they feel he is coming? What are their thoughts? What is their conversation? They were expecting any moment the return of the Lord. I will never forget that meal. One of the grandest banquets I have ever been to in my whole life was to share that simple meal with that brother and his family. And when we got home, those who had stayed at home did figure out that we were not returning, and so they went ahead and they ate. Ellie, who was the youngest of the family, he is married now, has a family of his own, but at that time he was 8 or 9 years old. And he came to me and he said, "David, I am so glad that you didn't come for dinner, because today I had 3 pieces of chicken." Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to encourage each other. I would like you to look with me at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we're starting at verse 1. He says, "The Lord spoke a parable unto them, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he said this, there was in a city a judge who did not fear God, nor did he have any regard for other men or other people. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto the judge, saying, 'Avenge me of mine adversary.' And he would not for a while. Many days, I suppose, went by. But afterward he said within himself, 'Though I fear not God, nor have any regard for other people, yet because this widow troubleth me, continually coming back to me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she will weary me.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge has said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?'" Prayer is so essential to our faith. When we don't spend time in prayer before the Lord, when we don't spend time in prayerful meditation over the Word of God, in the privacy of our own homes, where no one else sees, if we don't do that, we soon find ourselves becoming commonplace. We become negligent of things that we should be being very careful and very concerned about. I knew a man. He came to me one day and he said, I don't ask the Lord over and over and over again for something. I ask him only once. He heard me. So there isn't any need for me to tell him again. He will answer my prayer when he's ready. And I thought, oh, brother, how can you say such a thing when we have so many illustrations in the Word of God where we should continually bring before the throne of God to bring to His mind, to His heart, a need that we have. I mean, a serious need. When I was a little boy, and you forgive me when I tell you this, but when I was a little boy, my father was a deer hunter. And so my father wanted me to hunt deer with him. You know, I could never shoot a deer. I tried, but I could never shot the deer. I hunted for 36 years before I shot my first deer. I missed so many. But you know what one of my prayers was as a little boy? Lord, help me to get a deer. Those are not the kind of prayers that God is going to answer. Those are simple, selfish prayers that they serve no useful purpose. But it must have been that the Lord did hear my prayer as a little boy, because after 36 years, I shot two of them on an opening morning one day. But it took 36 years for him to answer. My father prayed earnestly for his father to come to know the Lord for many years. I remember going to Grandpa Marvin's home for Bible studies, and Dad would drive all the way from Cadillac to Howard City, which is quite the drive, and especially for my father, who never drove more than 45 miles an hour. And it took a long time for us to get there and a long time to get home. And he wearied a lot of other drivers on the road as he drove so slow. My grandfather didn't know the Lord. His language showed it. But my father wouldn't give up. Until finally one day, my grandpa Marvin said to my dad, Charlie, don't come back here to my home if you are going to talk about the Lord. If you are going to come here and talk to me about my soul's salvation, don't come here. But if you want to come just to visit me, you are welcome here in this home. But don't mention the things of God again. Well, my father honored that, but he didn't stop praying. He kept praying for many years. And I'll never forget the day when my grandpa Marvin accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior 6 months before he died. The Lord may not answer our prayers immediately, but he will answer them. So may we be serious in our prayers, and may we be consistent before the Lord in bringing our petitions to him. When the Lord finished his exhortation to those who were listening to him about prayer and using the unjust judge as a illustration, he finished with verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living in times when all of us are beginning to wonder, what is going on in America? What is going on in the world? Men are rebelling against those things that Brother Bob talked about this morning. That there was a time when our nation was founded upon the principles that are found in this book. He was careful to add and to say he would not say that those who wrote those were necessarily Christians. But the Word of God had its place. It was honored and revered. Now the day in which we live today, we see it being set aside. When I think about what the Lord Jesus Christ asked, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? The thought of faith here in this text, as I understand it, as I study some of the great writers of the Word of God, Matthew Henry and Newell and Dr. Ironside, as I read those, it seems that the thought here is not necessarily personal faith, individual faith, but the thought here is of a general belief in God and believing that this is His Word. And I am sorry to say tonight that I am afraid that we have come to that place in America, not just America, the world over, where the Word of God is no longer honored. There are those who are challenging it and saying, it's not for us anymore. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, God's Word is eternal. It is for all generations. That's what my Bible tells me. And because of that it is for all generations, I find hope for my sons, for my grandchildren, that the Word of God is for all generations. When I return, will I find any faith upon the earth? His comment was justified because the nation of Israel had most assuredly already rejected the truth that the Old Testament prophets tried to teach them. They didn't want anything to do with the Old Testament prophets. They killed them. They ostracized them. They didn't want anything to do with it. And that had begun already in the days of Elijah, the prophet, even in the days of Samuel. They had already begun their turning away from the truth that the prophets tried to share with them. And so when we come to Luke chapter 4, we read these words. He came to Nazareth, verse 16, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bore him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, whatever we have heard done in other countries, do also here in your own country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, but only unto Zarephath, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And she was a Gentile." The Jews had already made their choice hundreds of years before, when they said, "We want a king. We want to be like the other nations. And the Lord said, I am your king. And they said, no, 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 we want a king. We want to be like the other nations. And when the Lord Jesus Christ himself did finally come, and just before his crucifixion, they made their final choice. We have no king but Caesar. They rejected him. And so his words to them were simply meaning this. You wouldn't believe the miracles. You wouldn't believe the words of the prophets prior to this. And if I do miracles in your country now, you will not believe either. You didn't believe them before. You will not believe them now. And so his message would be to any of those who would hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, says the word of God. And brothers and sisters in Christ, unless you are of Jewish blood in this room tonight, you are a Gentile. And I praise God that he gave us an opportunity to come to know the Lord. And I praise God that for those of you who are here tonight, that for the most part, if not all the part, you have bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I praise God for that. But you are in a minority. I am in a minority. There are not many in this world who will anymore bow to the word of God. I'm thinking about the widow of Zarephath. And I want to end my message tonight talking about her. The widow of Zarephath was very poor. And you know the story well in 1 Kings chapter 17. We won't turn to it because for the sake of time, but you know the story. And how that Elijah was sent to her. He had been by the brook Cherith, I think it was called. He was there and the ravens were feeding him, but the brook dried up. And so the Lord said, okay, you go to the widow of Zarephath. And she will feed you. I think about the words that he said. What the Lord said to Elijah. I have commanded a widow woman there to take care of you. Now think about that for a moment. Put that in the back of your mind and dwell on it. I have commanded a widow woman to take care of you. But when I read the story in 1 Kings chapter 17... unless I have missed something, when Elijah got there and requested of her to bring him a drink of water, which she did readily, she had plenty of water. She went to get him a drink, but then he called after her and said, oh, by the way, you know, does the Lord ever do that to you? Send you to do a simple errand, and then before you have finished it, says, oh, by the way, I got something else for you to do too. Oh, by the way, when you come back, bring me a little cake, too. And she said, oh, I don't have enough to bring back to you. I have just enough meal left in a barrel and just enough oil left in a cruse to make two little cakes, one for my son and one for me. We are going to bake it and eat it and die. And I think about what Elijah said. And I think about what the Lord says to you and I so often. Yes, I know that. But bring me one anyway. Think about that for a moment. Elijah said, yes, I know that, but bring me one anyway. And if you will be faithful in doing that, I assure you, by the word of the Lord, that the meal in the barrel will never diminish. The oil in the cruse will never end until the rains come on the land again. When I think about how that in faith believing, and when I say faith believing, you ever have faith and yet still you are trembling inside? You take God at his word and yet you are trembling inside and you are wondering, okay, he said this, but how is he going to do it? I don't understand how he's going to do this. He only requires one thing of you and I, and that is to do his bidding. That is to be faithful to what he has asked us to do in faith believing. And we read in the word, the meal and the barrel never failed. The oil and the cruse was there every morning until the rains came on the land again. You know, that's something for us to think about. And I have to say this tonight, it's one thing for us to stand by the widow of Zarephath and say, wow, you had a great faith. My question to me is, would I have done the same? The Lord asks us over and over and over again in life, trust me, trust me, and I will see to it that you are taken care of. The part about the widow of Zarephath that so intrigues me, and I want to leave this thought with you tonight. The Lord told Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman there. And when Elijah got there, she didn't know anything about it. She didn't. So what did the Lord mean when he said, I have commanded a widow woman to take care of you? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I look at each one of you, and I look at myself, and I look back at my life, and I can see where the Lord has directed my life. I can see where he has guided. And he had a plan in place for me. And in that sense, the Lord commanded a plan for me. He didn't reveal it all immediately. You know, one of the hardest things for us is not to be able to see around the next corner. Not to be able to see what the next moment, the next day is going to bring. That's hard for us. When I look at Brother Jay Cry here tonight, and I realize that God commanded Jay and Ruth to go to Japan before they ever had a desire to go. Now think about that for a moment. Before they ever thought of going, the Lord had commanded them to go. The Lord has commanded each one of us. As we have faith in him and we continue day by day to trust him for our daily provision. When I look back on my life and I see what the Lord has allowed to happen in my life, and I say the Lord has allowed to happen, the Lord has done it. I have had many people come to me, and I'm sure Brother Jay Cry and Ruth have had many come to them. And say, it's wonderful the work you have done there. And what is your response? It wasn't me. It was the Lord. The Lord has done this. When I sat in those assemblies in Romania, and I am ministering to those Christians there to encourage them, I am amazed that I am there. I wonder how it is that God allowed me to go there. Was I worthy? No. When I look back at my life, as I am sure all of us can, and if we could do it again, we would change some things in our lives. But God didn't choose you because you're perfect. God didn't command you because you were so righteous. God commanded you because he loved you. And he made a plan for you. And so what's the purpose for our message tonight? You know, when I was a boy, I dreamed about being a preacher and how awesome and wonderful that would be. Well, I am a preacher now. Not such a good one, but I am a preacher, and I praise God that he's allowed me to do that. But you know what I have learned? I have learned that it is not being in front of the people that God honors. What God honors is we humble ourselves before God, and we see in each one You know, sometimes we think, if I can't do something great like go to Japan, if I can't do something great like go to Romania, if I can't do something great like become a great preacher in the world. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't think like that. Think about the woman with the little blue bag who came to me to give me a bag full of apples because that's all she had. So I just encourage you tonight. Look for the little things that you can do for the Lord. For those are the things that God is going to most honor. I'm anxious to see that woman in Romania. to see her in heaven. I know I'm going to see her there. I'm sure I will. Whether she is human or angel, I will see her there. And I am glad for that. Praise God for what He has done in commanding each one of us to go and serve the Lord. And we look to Him in faith believing. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so glad tonight to have the eternal Word of God. And even as we say that, Father, we marvel at the word eternal Word. Our Father, it is Your Word. And it is eternal. It has been from eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Meaning, of course, His Son, but also meaning His written Word. Thank You, Father, for that. And may we take it and apply it. May we live it in a world that doesn't have any care for the Word of God anymore. That thinks very little of eternal matters. Father, may we be faithful and keep on keeping on. In the name of Your beloved Son, we give Thee thanks. Amen.